ListenUpNorth.com presents an extract from The Orchid House, written and read by Avril Joy. 1. Sri Lanka, November 1980. Every day we ate papaya and curd for breakfast. The curd man brought it for us in clay pots tied with raffia. He came on his bicycle, announcing his arrival by bell. He came until the day you disappeared, until the day after your body was sucked into the sea by the great scouring undertow and thrown up on the beach where the stilt fishermen lived. The next day, the curd man called, but Indrani sent him away. The monsoon was near its end when we arrived, blowing itself out northwards to Madras. Grey skies and seas gave way to blue and green. It had stopped raining in the afternoon, those walls of hot rain which sent women in pink saris running for shelter, umbrellas of banana leaf flapping above their dark hair, rain splattering up from the road like butterfly wings fluttering in a veil of net. Rain like frosted glass, catching us as we cycled home through the paddy fields, drenching us, making us scream and laugh out loud. No, the rain had gone, and it was dry and fine in time for Christmas. At the cool spot they played Christmas carols, and the beach stalls were strung with coloured fairy lights. It was fate, you said, which took us to the house in Tiranagama. We'd looked everywhere along the coast, even as far south as Turtle Beach, and we were thinking of moving on the day we met Indrani and Freeman, the day our luck changed. They'd seen us cycling back and forth along the jungle paths, searching. Were we looking for someone? Could they help? They spoke English very good. They could help most definitely. They knew of a house belonging to Mr. Paniaka. He would be interested in renting, for sure. They could introduce us, but Mr. Paniaka was working in Colombo, not home until 6. We met at 6 by the temple steps and followed Indrani and Freeman, wheeling our bicycles along narrow paths, choking with vegetation and overhung with giant palms. Mr. Paniaka welcomed us warmly while his shy wife served us green tea on a low table. He'd been building the house for 3 years, and it was finished now, apart from interior doors, and it was furnished, apart from beds. He could arrange for doors and beds, no problem. Beds would be fine, I said. We can manage without doors. The house sat in a garden of palm and papaya. Its windows were barred and it was edged with soft lawns and a hedge of hibiscus. It was sunlit and airy, lying half open to the jungle and its noise. And at night we lay listening to the dog's howl. And in the morning we woke to the persistent hum of insects, birds calling and the spiteful screech of monkeys crashing about in the trees. Mr. Paniaka liked to talk with you, man to man. Sometimes he called after work when he changed into his lungi and casual shirt. Together you talked politics and Christmas festivities. He smoked your Marlboro and admired the red and white pack, turning it over carefully in the palm of his hand. He smiled and nodded in gratitude when you gave it to him. He'd built the house for his family, but they couldn't move in. They were living in his mother's home and would stay there until she died. It was his duty, he explained, his voice softening and his head inclining wistfully to one side. But he was happy to have us live in his house. I think we gave it life for him. And he didn't pry. Visiting was an excuse for him to enjoy it, to spend time there and to indulge in the company of strangers. People round about came to see what we were doing in the house. Tradesmen, the shy Lungi ladies who wove their cotton sarongs in a small shack not far from the house and who ran away when I invited them in. The Kurd man and the dog, 6 weeks, who refused all your efforts to beat him off, cowering at your feet until you relented, then guarding the house and eating the leftover curd. Indrani and Freeman became our friends and invited us to their mother's home, where we pored over astrological charts and spoke of love and matchmaking. And as we walked home in the black singing night, lit only by liquid green fireflies, I asked, "Are we star-matched lovers, do you think?" "We must be," you said, "or how else would we be here in this dream?" Jack. Jack, I called for you on the beach when you disappeared beneath the breaking roller, when it crashed on your back, and I watched, waiting for you to surface. I called as I watched for you riding in on the foamy torrent and waited while it settled to green glass for your body to appear. A brown arm, your head lifting above the water, but nothing broke the surface. Nothing but the next breaking wave and the next. Nothing. I screamed out for you, but my voice was lost on an empty beach, sucked back into the wild sea.